Boredom? Well, then you need a surprise. That's what we're talking about today. Next step, number 763, January 26, 2023.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazquez brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. There's no need to check your brain in at the door. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Are there things that still surprise you? I'm not talking about cliche, okay? I'm not talking about just sitting there and goes, oh, I'm so surprised, or oh, it doesn't surprise me at all. But seriously, think about it. Are there things that happen that still surprise you? What's the Einsteinian equation? Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. So we keep doing the same things and we get the same results. And basically we have gotten used to those results, haven't we? But everything, every now and then something happens and you say, wow. I'm really, really surprised. And this is where I want to start from today. It's like, there just doesn't seem like anything that surprises me anymore. I mean, bizarre things are happening. And I'm just like looking at them and going, yeah, well, yeah, of course, should expect this. You know, like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. We have a Senator Feinstein, 89 years old here in the United States. God bless people. I hope they live to be 100. I hope they could go past it. God bless them. I don't wish anybody any bad. But at 89 years old, you consider to run again? It's a 6-year term, United States Senator. 89 years old? I mean, At what point do you just say, excuse me, I need to get out of the way? There's a lot of young people. There's a lot of people who have more energy than I do. Okay, no. Yeah, I'm getting up there too. I know what it's like. The energy levels are going down and everything. But forget about that. At 89, what are you contemplating? Well, yeah, like I said, it doesn't surprise me. Hey, look at our president in the United States. We've got a president that's over 80 and he's contemplating another term. Like I said, you know, you wish some longevity, but at what point do you say enough? I mean, look at the Roman Catholic Church, right? Huge church. You know, over a billion constituents, right? And what are we talking about there? You got a pope who said, excuse me, I need to get out of the way. I will resign so that somebody else can be elected, right? And we just had his funeral. Pope Benedict. 16th, was it? What? Yeah. Pope Benedict's funeral. And it's the first time that a pope, a living pope, was presiding over the funeral of a pope. He was a pope. But it's interesting because in the dialogues that followed, Pope Francis has come out and said, when it's my time, if I decide to retire, he says, I want to retire as a bishop, emeritus. Emeritus bishop, not emeritus pope. Like, I want to go and I want to retire in a home for bishops, for the elderly clergy. Interesting. That to me was a surprise. To hear that kind of humility. It's not a surprise, though, when you know Pope Francis, okay? But what does it take for you to get be surprised anymore? Well, we're talking about elections and all elderly people and, you know, on the opposition to President Biden here in this country is going to be former President Trump. And there you go again. You know, here's another one. 75 years old, is he? He's putting in his name. Yeah, he wants to run. Okay, God bless them. They have the energy to do that. But at what point do you say, hey, that really surprises me? Because, you know, like, we've had this real tragic event here in this country, in the United States, where they've put up people to run, especially during the last two elections. And you have to think for a moment. You have to say, you mean there's nobody else? There's 300 million people in the United States, and there's nobody else who's qualified but these two candidates that they put up? But it doesn't surprise us, does it? Here's one. I'm going to share with you one of the Armenian papers, one of the Armenian papers I subscribe to. Front page story. Representative Katie Porter condemns Azerbaijan's Artsakh blockade. Wow. Okay, let's read on. Orange County, California, okay? The need to hold Azerbaijan accountable for its 40-day blockade of the Republic of Artsakh and ensure the provision of U.S. humanitarian assistance to its besieged population were discussed during an hour-long meeting with Congresswoman Katie Porter, Democrat Irvine, in a California statewide ANC meeting, that's the Army National Committee meeting, hosted by the Orange County chapter. Okay, very nice. Now think about it for a moment. Here's somebody, Orange County, one of the counties of California, and she's making a statement about, I condemn Azerbaijan. And what are the stakes here? Not much. She's got Armenian constituents, and you're going to play to them. And then, what does that buy us? Nobody knows. It doesn't buy you anything. Let me just say it that way, right? She's a state senator. I mean, there's nothing. It has nothing to do with genocidal programs in Azerbaijan, or doesn't even know. You know, it's like on April 24th when people go out and they march and you see the slogans, our wounds are still open. And meanwhile, when you go and look at pictures, I shared this with you last year because I discovered this picture from 1925. Huge, huge gathering in Los Angeles of Armenians. And these were the people who had their wounds truly open. And when you look at this picture, oh, man, you see the dignity of people. They're not just people out with T-shirts that my wounds are open, parading on the streets of Los Angeles. And here's the interesting thing. That why are you protesting in the United States? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that really the real protest should be out in Turkey, right? April 24th, yeah, Turkey. I mean, this is why, to us, Hrant Dink was such a hero. He did it right where it counted. He was right there. He got martyred for it. Yes, the 1.5 million plus one, we use these terms to remember that they got killed. They were martyred for the cause. But somehow, we like the comfortable way. What Bonhoeffer refers to as cheap grace, we have converted that into cheap Arminianism. In other words, let's go out and do the point of easy access. Bonhoeffer referred to this idea of cheap grace. Let Jesus die and let Jesus go through everything. Let God go through everything and we'll just tag along for the ride and say we're Christian and reap all the benefits. I mean, that's putting it in just in a couple sentences. He's much more elaborate than I'll ever be. But you get the idea. It's like, what are you doing to deserve that grace? And we've convinced ourselves that, well, it's grace. That's the nature of it. And you can't do anything. Of course you can. Of course you can. Jesus invites us to do something. He invites us to go and help and love and care, to do There is an action to being a Christian. But it's grace, we call it. And it's cheap grace. And it's the same way. Being Armenian, you prayed around and you get a few local politicians who are ready to please you. And they say, well, you know, as long as I'm the county elected representative, there will be no genocide. There is no genocide here. Armenians are fine here, you know. It's like, but you're trying to do something out in Artsakh now. And you're trying to bring about some justice. And you look at the situation and, you know what, let me just say it. I'm not just picking on people. I have presented in essays, in podcasts, in video casts, a decent solution. That we need to look beyond ourselves. We need to be the champions against injustice everywhere. Not just against the Armenians. I mean, think about it. When did I make that first call? It was in 2009, and we started In His Shoes back in 2003. Imagine 20 years now. Yeah, it's 20 years. Well, we got to celebrate. Let's have a chicken dinner and celebrate 20 years of In His Shoes. No, but here, can you imagine this idea? That if for the last 20 years, on different occasions, we got up as an Armenian community and said that, wait, we have been there, and so we will now speak out. I did that. I went out to Darfur. I went out to Rwanda. I went out and I stood at Standing Rock. Stood at Standing Rock. Yes, we did that. We went to Sasnashen. Yeah, it's not prejudice. We play it around all the different levels. And then after 20 years of this, now look at the clout you have. Now go on the world stage and say, hey, you know, we're the people that have been there for all of these different things, and now we need some help. Instead of us standing around with our hands open, we'd be standing there with our hands full of pride, and saying, and not that false pride, no, not the deadly sin pride. I'm talking about the pride in doing what is right. And then saying, hey, look, we may not be a lot of people, but look what we've contributed to this world. And right now we need help. We need assistance. Is it too idealistic? Probably, because on the other hand, where is that assistance? But it still surprises me that we're sitting around and we're applauding and asking for people who have absolutely no concept of what's going on to validate a reality of what's going on in Armenia as well as in Artsakh, primarily in Artsakh, but of course impacting Armenia. And it's interesting because you know that they have no idea. I mean, I just read you this small little piece from Katie Porter. She seems like a decent person. She's a Democrat congresswoman. Okay. God bless her. She's doing some decent work, it seems like. But she has no clue what's going on in Artsakh. Probably can't even locate it on a map. But we applaud things like this. Now, in the same newspaper, I turned the page and, you know, there's the usual fare of articles. And Bishop Sahag Mashalyan has gone to the Church of the Nativity in Jerusalem. It makes me think, like, okay, there's people dying, like, in Artsakh, and we're caring about it. We're asking people, like, state senators, not U.S. Congress or U.S. Congress people, asking state senators to just validate it. And we got patriarchs going and celebrating services at the Church of the Nativity. And then we keep going, and then on the next page there is a small little article. It says, Armenia's human rights defender resigns. And I go, what? Human rights defender resigns? Like, of all the time in our lives, this is the time for a human rights human rights defender to resign? Well, obvious, as you read through, you realize that these are just positions and people need to fill them. And it started getting me thinking about, like, you know, this is really one of the big problems, isn't it? That people resign when we shouldn't be resigning. In my situation, I remember these special words. This Sunday, by the way, we're going to be remembering Archbishop Wojciechow Sepian, 40th day of passing. And I'll be at the St. Gregory Armenian Church and sharing a sermon about him. If you're inclined to listen, it'll be streamed. Yeah, let's make a note of that. We'll put it in our show notes, and there'll be a link to the stream. But Archbishop Wojciech, who ordained me, when I was ordained, there is a question that he asks you. It's at the service of the calling. Before you get ordained, before you even get on your knees to ask for that ordination, he asks you a few different questions, one of which is, do you promise to do this ministry without getting tired, without getting bored? Arans tsansranalo. And as I've shared many times with you, oh man, have I been disappointed, but I've never been bored. Every single day is something you can't expect. You want to talk about surprise, I feel that there. Okay, this is too bizarre, and I'm I had to take a break right now. I got a phone call, and when I returned to, I had put the recording on hold, and when I returned, I backed it up to see where we were. It's been 15 minutes, the call, and what was I talking about? I was talking about every day is something different. And that's really one of the joys. That's one of the most beautiful things that I experience as a priest. And I'm sure that all other priests, I'm assuming that's really one of the most beautiful parts of this ministry, is that one day does not look like the next. And had I said, no sooner had I said that, the phone rang. And wild. It was from prison. It was from Corona prison. Just incredible. Incredible the things that happened. I mean, it's something I did not expect. Anyway, I dealt with this one and I'm back over here. But just to make the point that was really, is that coincidence or maybe just like meant to be right at that moment to kind of like give me an anecdote to tell you, hey, look, look what I just got too. You know, I can't deny it. So I needed to share that with you too. Okay. Yeah. So that's it. I get this call from prison and every single day is different. So getting back to the point. The bishop asks you, are you willing to take this commitment to be a priest without getting bored? Like I said, yeah, there's been many days it's been disappointing. Many days it's been difficult. Many days where the challenge has been really great, but never boring. Never boring. I can't say that there was a day in those last 40 years and so that I've just sat around and said, wow, I'm really bored. No. And we come to the original statement. Is there anything that surprises you? Well, there is a lot. Every day is a new day. Every day is a surprise. But are there things that really kind of like go where you go, wow? And I guess the fact that we're during this session, while I am talking about this topic, I get a call like that. And you heard the ringing, right? You heard the ringing. Anyway, I think I need the break right now. This is the first time this is happening, okay, that I need the break, that I need to put a song on right now. Give me a few minutes to just process everything that happened, especially in the context of what we've been talking about, being surprised. Let's see, the song of the day today, I picked out a song by Bonnie Raitt. And it's called Just Like That. My sister asked me to listen to it this morning, and I said, wow, that's very, very powerful. I'm sharing it with you right now. Song of the day.
I watched him circle around the block, finally stopped at mine. Took a while before he knocked, like all he had was time. Excuse me, ma'am, maybe you can help. The directions weren't so clear. I'm looking for Olivia's hand. They said I might find her here. Well, I looked real hard and asked him what she's got he's looking for. Said there's something I think she'd want to know when I let him in the door. It's not like me to trust so quick. Caught me by surprise, but something about him gave me ease right there in his eyes. Just like that, your life can change. If I hadn't looked away, my boy might still be with me now. You'd be 25 today. No knife can carve away the stain. No drink can drown regret. They say Jesus brings you peace and grace. Well, he ain't found me yet. Sat down and took a deeper breath and looked right in my face. I heard about the son you lost, how you left without a trace. I spent years just trying to find you so I could finally let you know. It was your son's heart that saved me and a life you gave us both. Just like that, your life can change. Look what the angels send. I lay my head upon his chest. I was with my boy again. Well, I spent so long in darkness, I never thought the night would end. But somehow grace has found me.
Bonnie Raitt doing a song called Just Like That. I understand it's brand new. I'm going to have a link on today's show notes to the song, and I invite you to listen to the lyrics very carefully. It's very touching. I was very touched by it. It's about somebody who loses a son, I believe, and can't be consoled until one day somebody shows up with the heart that he had donated. Very moving. Very, very moving. I will have a link on today's show notes. Back to the show. We're talking about surprises today. Is there anything that really surprises us anymore? Really, very, very few things. I'll tell you one thing that surprised me. It was last week when I shared that story about the Miss Armenia in the Miss Universe pageant. And there was the clip that I put on the show notes. And I guess I didn't consider it, but a listener named Ani wrote in and said that the use of the word genocidal was misplaced. It wasn't done properly. And you saw it. They showed that here's Miss Armenia, a genocidal people. The way they said it is like as if Armenians were the perpetrators of genocide. I think what they meant is the people that have lived through and survived genocide instead, the genocidal people. And this is, we have nobody to blame but ourselves because we've made a big, big point of selling the world on this idea that we are we are known for our genocide. There was a small little comic in one of the papers recently about when you think about laziness, don't think of me, and it's a Mexican guy. When you think about bad drivers, don't think of me, and it's an Asian person. And I was thinking that we need to add to that. When you think of genocide, don't think of me. You know, it's like there, I'm more than genocide. I'm more than that. And it came to bite us, yeah, with the genocidal people. Can you imagine on the world stage this was what was saying? Anyway, thank you, Ani, for catching that. That was an interesting little note there that you sent in. But thinking about now about surprises, what are things that are truly, truly surprise you? There's very few things. I mean, when you look at today's news, what came up today, you have the fighting escalating again between the Jews and the Palestinians. And it's a tit for tat, you know. One of them shoots the other, and then so we need to take out the other one, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. And it doesn't surprise us that it just escalates like this. What is surprising would be if we were to put down everything and say, wait, I will repay evil with goodness. I will not resist evil. Can you do it? Is it possible to do? Is it possible to be done? And these are the one big question. This is one of the big questions that comes up in my life. How realistic is Christianity? I mean, we try to live it. We preach it, definitely, but can we live it? And this past few weeks, since the beginning of the year, has been multiple opportunities for us to really push our faith to actual practice. I'm reminded what Dr. Bernice King, the daughter of the slain civil rights leader, Martin Luther King Jr., his daughter said, it's time that we stop quoting King and start living King. And I shared that with you last week, and you know, I've been meditating on that all week long. And really, it's even beyond that. Is it time that we stop quoting Jesus and start living Jesus? Start living as Christians. And really, if you look at what I did this past week, I've put together this incredible little summary of John chapter 3, the Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. And this is based, this is the lectionary reading that we had in church last Sunday. So read it first. And it contains that very familiar passage, the one that is called the gospel in miniature or in short, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." It contains that in there. So for 1 week, what I did is I went deep into it. And there, if you listen to it, by the way, I'll put a link on today's show notes to the daily messages on epostle.net. If you listen to it, you say, yeah, this is stuff that you've been talking about all these years. Yeah, but for the first time, this opportunity through Epostle is that we're writing it down, that we're actually putting it all together so that it can exist in written form. And it can become the basis for a book on Armodoxy, of course, Armenian Orthodoxy in practice. Okay, how do you move from theory to practice Armodoxy? There it is. But even more than just writing it down, it's going to be the basis for an interactive experience. And that's coming up. I'm very happy to tell you today that February 26th, we are going to be launching an interactive church service. Yeah, it's going to be a church service that takes place online. And it's not going to replace the divine liturgy. Absolutely not. And those of you who listen to the show know that I wouldn't stand for something to replace the Holy Badarak. But it is going to be an alternative service that takes place Sunday evenings. Well, that, I should say Sunday evenings, California time. And I know as we move along, we're coordinating it so that it has a life elsewhere on the planet. But for right now, we're starting it off in California time. And very short, it's going to be composed of a prayer, of a hymn, a message, Bible reading, and then a message. And it will be launched on epostle.net, okay? So it's one step closer to putting together a dream that we have. Does it surprise us? No. Doesn't surprise us. When we listen to it, we want even more, don't we? And that's what I'm getting at. It's like there is no more surprises in our lives because we've been saturated. I think the last surprise that came about was the innovation of the iPhone, in that it changed the way that we deal with having a computer in our pocket. Yeah, 2007, if you look at life before 2007. Yep, there were cell phones, definitely. And there were cell phones that took pictures. There were cell phones that could be turned around and made into selfie generators. But these weren't popular. Social media wasn't popular because you needed, it was popular, but it was basically a desktop application. It wasn't something that you sat and kept in your pocket. The iPhone was a revolution. It changed. That one was a wow experience. Changed the way we look at it. But the usual stuff, the usual fare that we're going through is becoming more and more boring. "Will you ever get bored of this?" the bishop asks the candidate who's going to be a priest. You have to answer no. No, I'm willing to do it for the long run. I'm not going to walk away from it. It's not a job for me. I'm going to walk away from it. And we have beautiful words. The letter "ts" before a word means until. Tsigianus. It means for my life. Until the last day of my life. Tsigianus. Tsidesutun is a word that people have heard in Armenian. Tsidesutun means until I see you. You know, until I see you. Au revoir, you know, it's like, until I see you next. Tsigianus, until death. A priest makes a commitment that he will serve the gospel all the days of his life. And so will you get bored of it? No, I won't get bored of it. So in everything that I've said this past, what are we at, half an hour, 45 minutes? Did you get the message? I asked you, is there anything that surprises you? And if it doesn't surprise you, it's going to bore you. At some point, you're going to get tired of it. You're going to walk away from it. And I gave you the answer. A priest answers his bishop, and he says, "I will not get bored. Voch tsansranado. I will not be bored of this. And why? Because of the one different factor than everything else in life, and that is that it is the work of Jesus. Jesus is the element. It's that wild card, so to speak, that changes the expected into the unexpected. And it's throughout the entire gospel. The answer is right there. It's right in front of us. Throughout the entire gospel, you see that Jesus contradicts the boredom, contradicts the usual with his statements. And so all of a sudden we are surprised. You have heard an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, we've heard that. That is boring. That's what life it gives us, right? So if you hit me, I hit you back. If you take out my eye, I can take out your eye. If you take out my tooth, I can take out your tooth. And Jesus says, no. He says, instead, do not resist evil. Instead, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies. What? That's the moment you go, what? And the minute you say, what? Sorry for the sound effects. The minute you say that, you're saying that I'm surprised. This is surprise. And whatever story he tells you, whatever parable he does tells you, there is that surprise element. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed, he says. Yeah, we know that. That's basic botany. It's biology. It's gardening 101. The seed has to fall into the earth and die so that it could produce, so that it becomes a flower. By dying, it produces, there's new life. So where's the surprise? It's what he says right next to that. The qualifier for that. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life will keep it for eternal life. He says, when you give a banquet, don't invite your friends. Instead, go out there and invite people who have no way of paying you back. Surprise? Yes, that's a surprise. He says, the man who has 5,000, 5,000 more is given to him. The man who has 2,000, 2,000 more is given to him. But to the guy who has nothing there, who has 1,000, even what he has will be taken away. He said, wait, hold it. Isn't Jesus the champion of the poor? You mean he's taken away whatever the guy had? Now read it. Read it and you understand that the surprise is much bigger than just a matter of the money. It's about using those talents. The message is not about the money, but using the money, using the talents that God has given us. That to me really is the big surprise. And that's the game changer, right? That changes it from a boring life into a real life. You know, I was just talking to somebody today. We were talking about the Costco model. If you have a Costco near you and you've been in there, there's something about it. There's like these traps to bring you in. Here's something that I've heard many, many times. I went into Costco to get a couple of items. I walked out spending $500-$600. Yeah, why? Why does that happen? Because they have figured out how to get you to spend. We do a monthly feed of the homeless. And sometimes we get, it's difficult because of the COVID situation. Sometimes we haven't been able to get in there. So at the very beginning of the COVID crisis, we had to find places where we could buy food from that was already prepared, because the other element is that in preparation, there's certain health standards and everything. So Costco has these broiled chickens. No, not boiled, broiled. I don't like boiled chicken with the pimples and everything, no. Okay, broiled chickens, and they sell them for like $5, I think, $5 a piece. So we went in there to buy like 10 of them, and we're going to take to the homeless shelter. And, you know, it's an affordable in our budget and everything. So you could buy 10 of them and you could distribute. And it's wholesome. It's food and everything, right? Where do they put those $5 chickens? At the very, very, very end of the store. Why? Because you have to walk through the rest of the store before you get that. And as you're walking through the rest of the store, your eye catches this and that. And you start saying, I need that. Or, you know what? That looks, the price on that is really good. You know what? That might not be a bad buy right there. So that as you go through the store to get this cheapo item that you came in to get on your way out or on your way there, you're picking up different items. So when you get to the chick stand, yeah, you came in to spend $50 and you're spending $500, right? Well, what is that path? That path is the surprise. That's what surprises you. And that's what gets you to buy those items, is because they are out of the ordinary. The ordinary is boredom. You want that chicken then, that's boring. But as you're going through, hey, look, you're seeing things that you, oh, I didn't know that those vitamins were on sale. Did you know the mouthwash? You could buy like 3 or 4 gallons of it at a reduced price. And you don't need 3 or 4 gallons, but hey, it's a bargain. Let me grab it. And then as you're going down the aisle to get to that chicken, oh, they're going to give you a small little sample, surprise. Your mouth wakes up and you say, you know what? I haven't prepared anything for tonight. Let me grab that and take it home. Surprise. And then you look over there and you see some patio furniture. You weren't looking for patio furniture, but the price surprises you. Not that the price is anything special, because you really have nothing to compare it on. You just know that you're in this giant store with familiarity around you. And what is that familiarity? Is the lower price. And now, surprise, there's that item. And what I'm proposing to you today is, as I asked you, are there any surprises? It's that we start tuning ourselves to those surprises that God gives us, that Jesus Christ brings into our lives. That yes, you can be bored. It is very boring because you look at these people, especially politicians, who just keep on rehashing the same old stuff. So at age 89, she's going to run again to be a senator. And it's not like they're thinking like, let me get out of the way so somebody younger could do it. No. It's like, let me do it. I got to do it. Okay, that doesn't surprise me anymore. What does surprise me is that there is hope. What does surprise me is that there are still people who will try to unseat her, that will take them on. And as few as they are, those are the people that we need to focus in on. Because I'll tell you what, Jesus, when he came, he saw those few. He saw the few and he focused on them. He focused on 12, he focused on 72, and didn't focus on the millions that were out there. He said, on those people, I see a hope. And we too in our lives, you have to look around and count your blessings. Find those people, find the friendships, find those things that really surprise you and stimulate your life so that your life is full, it's blessed. It is filled with goodness. It is filled with the blessings that God brings. And those blessings are what the surprise is all about. Not the surprise. They're what the surprise is all about. Something to think about, okay? All right, here's Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments, okay, to wrap it up.
This is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Epostle.net is the voice and expansion of In His Shoes ministry. We are committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at either the InHisShoes.org website or epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Thank you, all of you, for all the wonderful support, the prayers that keep us going. I want to just give you a few dates. I am serving at the St. Gregory Armenian Church in Pasadena, California, and it is a church that does have streaming. I'm going to be there indefinitely right now, maybe a few weeks or maybe a few months. Not really sure. I'm helping out a priest who's having some medical issues, and we pray for him. Next week happens to be the Feast of Saint Sarkis. His name is Saint Sarkis. Special, extra prayers for him, for Father Sarkis. Did I say saint? Yeah. It's the Feast of Saint Sarkis. Father Sarkis needs our prayers. Let's keep him in our prayers and our thoughts. This Sunday happens to be the 40th day of Archbishop Vaclav Sepian's passing. He was my spiritual father. The 40 day is in recognition of Jesus' 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And so we have that tradition of remembering those who have passed, who have fallen asleep on that 40th day of passing. It's going to be this Sunday, and we will be broadcasting again from St. Gregory with a link on today's show notes. My dear friend, Father Kevork Abian, young priest, is going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy. I will be giving the sermon in Armenian and in English. Please join us if you can. It's at 10:30, and that's Pacific time. Remember to mark your calendars for February 26th, when we will be launching an evening prayer service. And evening is 5 o'clock California time, Pacific time. But it will be online, and it's asking for you to participate. So please consider it. February 26th. Those of you in Australia, that'll be the 27th, right? See, I'm learning. Okay. That does it for today's show. I want to invite you to epostle.net. That's our main mothership, where we have all of these incredible little files. I'm happy to tell you that Father Sarkis Petoyan will be joining the contributors column on the website, as well as Didan Avakian coming up very shortly. February 1st, I believe, we're going to be seeing the first of Father Sarkis's notes. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things happening. And, of course, the daily messages, Armodoxy for today, which apply Armenian Orthodoxy to our life today. So do check it out. That's Epostle. It's Apostle with an E. Epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic Universe. Okay, that does it for today. Big shout out to my dear sister, celebrating her birthday today. I think I'll go have a Keurig with my Keurig. Cute, huh? On behalf of my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Vazgen, looking forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.
Of Balan Top Limit.